Or quarter of 11.
Quarter of 11.
11:15.
No, quarter to 11. Ages
4 to 11. All right, we're going to put a microphone in the back as well. Let's do your podium, buddy.
15 minutes.
That's right. All right, so we have our infants, a three-year-old behind this wall here. And if they get loud, we'll have to close that door over there. And all those little precious ones are going upstairs. So this is the new place. We're going to learn together how to make this place work for us and hopefully get all of the things working that we need to. There we go. Where we're at today, find the right sermon. We could repeat one from last year. But summer has passed. I was thinking about it on Friday going, what happened? My kids are in school for a full day. Some of them only had a half a day. Macedonian kids start in a couple more days. But that's it. Summer's gone. No more long weeks to relax in the sun. Just leave your office early and go for a run or whatever it is you guys have done this year for summer vacation. But I trust you came back refreshed and ready to go. It's a lot of transitions. There's new families here with us that have come from somewhere and are calling Macedonia, calling Skopje home. Maybe for the second time, you're back after a few years away. But welcome to everyone to the International Church of Skopje. This is the place to belong. It's a place to find friends, a place to share your life. And I trust that we'll figure that out as we go forward. So school is starting. Families are getting their routines together. It's a bit of a challenge, I think, though, to get the routine. You had something that worked for you back in May and June, and it got taken apart, especially with kids and that are here with you. And now it's time to put it back together. New school schedules, kids going, kids coming, jobs, catching up on emails after the summer. It's just a time of transition and catching up. And so this morning, as we're starting a new chapter, a new book in the Bible, we actually had this transition as well. Last year, as a church, we went through the book of Luke. The author's name was Luke, and he was given this overview of the life of Christ from his birth, through what he said, what he did, and his suffering at the end, his death, his burial, and then his resurrection. And so this year, we're continuing with the same author of Scripture. That's the author, Luke. But we're doing it in his book called Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And in this book, we're going to continue on in that transition time from when Jesus rose again through the end of the church going to Rome.
We're going to communicate here.
Yep.
All right. There we go.
This is your line up there.
All right. Bring him down. So we're getting up to speed with the same author, but we're transitioning now to a new book, the book of Acts. How many of you are using your cell phone this morning for your Bible? Just so I know who's texting and surfing versus who's reading. All right, got that. Paying attention now. How many of you have hard copy paper? All right, how many of you need something? Jockey, you need something. All right, somebody give... All right, she needs the Macedonian Bible, but we're going to get that to you. Bring it next week. All right. Any way you do it, the book of Acts is in the New Testament. It's the fifth book in the New Testament. You get the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, looking at the life of Christ. And we get to this book of Acts, which is about the church. How it goes from being 12 apostles, 11 plus 1 here coming up, to 120, to 3,000, to 5,000, to today, where this church is around the world. And we are just one part of that. This group right here just represents one group of people worshiping from Japan, through the Philippines, across Asia, through Turkey, here into Macedonia, north and south, up to Poland and Norway, down to South Africa, continuing on even later today through the Americas. We're part of this amazing thing that started right here in this book of Acts. We are a part of what God is doing in building his kingdom. So in this book of Acts, we're going to see the advance of God's kingdom. We're going to see how God takes something small, insignificant, hidden away in this country of Israel, and makes it something amazing that touches the whole world, that changes the world through you and me. So So we have this great opportunity this year to learn from this author of Luke in the book of Acts. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you, the living God. We come to you because you have chosen to speak to us through your word, through your Holy Spirit. And so we come this morning to listen. Use what these words that I have prepared, use the scripture that we're going to read, and allow it to change our lives. Make us more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Acts, chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So Luke continues this dialogue that he has with this man called Theophilus. He continues this dialogue encouraging Theophilus to know that what he has learned, his faith, is based on facts, based on what has happened. It's based on eyewitnesses who had seen, walked with, experienced Jesus on the earth. And so he continues this book here saying, I started with all Jesus began to teach, and I continued it until he went to heaven. And he continues on then in this book. Now the author, as he's writing this, doesn't show up too often saying, hey, by the way, I'm here, until we actually get about halfway through this book of Luke, where then he includes the verbs, we did this, we went here, we went there. So the author joins the story later on. But right now, he's just writing to his friend saying, these are the things I've heard, I've investigated, I've been a part of, I've seen, and know that this is what we can believe. So these two books, Luke and Acts, are given to the church, to us today, to say, yeah, this is truth, I can believe it, it really happened, people saw this, and we can be confident in what we're reading. He goes on to say, after Jesus' sufferings, he presented himself to the disciples, and he gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. This book that we're going to be reading, our faith that we live, is based upon the fact that Jesus is alive. That's it. This church, this amazing kingdom of God, is built upon the simple fact that Jesus suffered, buried, and rose again. That's what we're coming here together to celebrate. We have a cross up here next to me that symbolizes it's empty. He died, he rose again. There's no longer fear of death. Death stings, death hurts, it impacts us individually, it impacts all of us. But death is not the end. There is eternal life. And so Luke, in starting off this book, says, he gave to them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. So in this 40-day period when Jesus was risen from the dead, he kept showing up to his apostles saying, I'm here. Let me have some fish. Let me eat something. Give me something to drink. Touch me. See these holes in my hand. I am alive. And based upon this, these disciples, these people who had been scared and afraid, have a new passion, have a new energy, have an ability to speak like they've never spoken before, knowing that what they believe in is supernatural, it's miraculous. It's something they cannot explain except for there being a living God. These people in this book are changed and go to the ends of the world. They suffer, they die, they go through so much because they know Jesus rose from the dead. This is the power that advances the kingdom because of their faith and what God is going to give them. So this review that we're talking about, we have Jesus living a sinless life. He's obedient to God. His wisdom is beyond that of all the people around him. His power and authority over sin, over illness, over death itself shows that he is God. He suffered, he died in our place, and he rose again. This is the book of Luke leading us into the book of Acts. This is what the foundation that allows the church to become something that it never was before, come into existence, in fact. So back here in chapter 1, Jesus continues to speak to them over these 40 days about the kingdom of God. He tells them this, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, that he has promised, what you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he sets them up, preparing them for this kingdom of God to come. Now, if you were to be told, wait for something, what's your first response? How many of you are good at that whole slowing down and waiting for something to come in an unforeseeable future? No, you get something, no way. We're usually into this, hurry up and do something. Last night, Elizabeth was ready to go for her run, and Zach was going to go for the bike ride. It was dark, and we had this brand new light for his bike, but it wasn't on the bike. So, Dad, hurry up, let's get this thing on. There's instructions somewhere, I don't know where they went. Try putting it on, we're missing a piece. Zach remembers. Goes and gets it. We put that on. Finally, after 10 minutes of hurrying to get this done, guess which way the light was pointing? Backwards, right. So Dad, in his ingenuity, turns the whole thing upside down, under the handlebar, it shines forward, tighten it down, send them on their way. Okay, that's what happens when you hurry things up. You get them on backwards, you do things wrong. Jesus stops right here at the very beginning and says, wait. Slow down. There's something coming that you need, and you need it. If this is going to work, if this the kingdom of God is going to advance, slow down. And their immediate response to this whole thing is, yes, it's time for the kingdom of God to come now, right, Lord? And he says, it's not for you to know when. It's not for you to know what time is happening. It's for you to be my witnesses when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, in Jerusalem and Judea and all parts of the earth, we'll hear. Now, part of waiting, especially in this context, is letting go. It's dying to a dream. The Israelites, even the disciples, were ready for God's kingdom to come on earth, for the Romans to be overthrown, for Israel to be the center of the world, for people to know God's power is here. So they're saying, is it time now? Is God's kingdom coming on earth? Are we going to see it? Is there going to be a throne? Is there going to be this place where the whole world can say, God is here? And Jesus says, that's not important. What's important is you take this kingdom forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. So in this vision casting, this mission that he's giving to his disciples, there's also, for these disciples, this recognition that something's changing. No longer are they going to be expecting God's kingdom to come on earth. They're now being told they're going to take this kingdom to the ends of the earth. It's not something that's going to become visible. There's not going to be a palace with a moat and a drawbridge, as we think of in medieval times. There's not going to be the city that shines for the whole world to see. There's going to be people who shine with the power of God and take it person by person to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. So they have to let go of this desire for something here and now and realize that with the power of God, they're going to go and take this kingdom of God to the next person. They are going to become witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Now just that word itself, being a witness, of what? We haven't answered that yet? Yeah? You will be my witnesses of what you have heard and seen. Jesus, in the end of Luke, was quoted as saying, you're going to, actually go there and say it so I don't mess it up. Jesus actually tells them, this is what's written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name. This is what you're going to be witnesses of, that Jesus himself suffered, died on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins is available in Jesus' name. This is what we're taking to the world. This is what we're taking to the nations. This message that changes lives as it goes. So wait for this gift, Jesus tells them. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now here in this very simple verse, we have this really amazing theological point. We have this thing called the triune God, the Trinity. Jesus is saying, wait for the Holy Spirit, which the Father's going to send. Struggled for thousands of years to say, how does this work? How is God one and how is he three? But we have from Jesus' own mouth here. This is how it works. Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit from the Father. The Father sent the Son. They're at work. We're wrestling with it. But this is our God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. We sang it earlier, and this is what we believe. We believe it because it's right here on these pages of Scripture saying, this is it. You want to know God? You have to know His Son, Jesus. How do you get to know the Son, Jesus? By the Holy Spirit speaking into our life today and explaining Him. The Holy Spirit is our understanding, our revelation today of this living God that we worship and that we follow. We serve a living God. We serve a triune God. We serve and obey God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hold this together as we go forward because we need this. This is how we believe. This is what we believe. Even if the mechanics of it, sometimes we scratch our head and say, this is a God thing. We believe. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This message is going out. Here in the first chapter of Acts, it's right there in Jerusalem. It's on this mountainside as he's talking to them. It's in the city of Jerusalem itself as they gather together in the temple to pray and wait. This is the temple, but it's going to the world very, very quickly. So wait for this gift. Don't hurry up. Don't change the plan. Let go of the dream that you want now and know that God's plan is coming. He's got it, and we need to wait. What I like about this chapter is their immediate response to this. As Jesus goes forward, and it says that he was taken up from them in their from front of their very eyes, and then the cloud hid them, the disciples' response was simply, as we go forward on the next slide, to stand there looking up. As they were standing there looking up, the angels appeared to them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven is going to come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." Now, I think these two angels that here, they showed up once before. I think they're comedians. They're trying to get something across because last time they showed up, where were they? Anybody remember from the book of Luke? They were in front of the empty grave, and they asked the same kind of obvious question. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for Jesus here in a tomb when he's risen? And here, the angels say, why are you looking up? He's gone, he's coming again, but there's no point being here. You're in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. Find yourself doing that, in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. So here, we have the disciples standing, looking up, and waiting when, as it says in chapter 14, they gather together and pray. The value of being together. In verse 14 it says, they joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. So rather than finding themselves standing around looking up, what they realize, as they are encouraged by the angels to go back and get going, is to gather together and pray. In this time of waiting, when they're left to wait for God to do his thing, to send the Holy Spirit, they gather together. They gather together and wait upon the living God to do what he does best, his miraculous power to show up, God to be present among them. And so here in these verses here, the power of being together stands up. And as we go through this book of Acts, we're going to be realizing time and time again the importance of what we have right here. Community. Knowing one another. Sharing what's going on in our lives with one another. Sharing our resources with one another. Being available to each other to advance this kingdom of God. This book of Acts is about us, the church, the people of God advancing the kingdom. We do that by knowing one another. We do that by praying to the living God together. We do all of this in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to get to that point later on in chapters ahead as we look about what it means to have this Holy Spirit, what he does in our lives, this power that's available to us as believers, because we have this power as we believe. We have the Holy Spirit. But today, as we're looking at this, we're advancing the kingdom of God. And we need to do it by waiting in prayer with other believers. Can this concept be true of us today? What if we were a people of prayer? What if we spent time with one another, not just on our own, but together, seeking God's face and saying, God, what do you have for us as a church? What do you have for us as a people? How would you use us as the International Church of Skopje to impact this city, this country, the migrants passing through? How can you use us as a people to advance your kingdom? And today, it starts very simply with being a people of prayer. It starts with us gathering together, quieting our hearts, and talking to the living God, asking and listening. Acts is this book that we find ourselves in today, the Acts of the Apostles. We need to know the living God. To do that, we need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit given to us as we believe. We need to do this in community, in prayer. Father God, as we look to you this morning, we recognize that we gather together for your benefit, for you. We gather together as believers and we seek your face. We want to know how we can serve you, how we can advance your kingdom. Your Holy Spirit has been given to us as we believe, as we take that step. And so this morning, Holy Spirit, speak to us and guide us as a church. We need to know you. We need to know how to serve you, and we need to know what ways we can advance your kingdom. So speak into our hearts today. Encourage us this week as we see one another to pray together and ask that you reveal yourself once again to us. Will you do speak today? In Jesus' name.